On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, Redskins fans? Holy moly, what a win on Sunday Night Football. That was wild, man. If you are a listener, you know I expected them to win. I predicted it, but I did not predict what happened. You got to be honest. I mean, that was just a dominant effort from start to finish, offensively, defensively. Damn, man, that was a win. Rich Tandler is here. Tandler, what say you?
Well, first of all, what up?
Hey!
Second of all, yeah, you know, I thought they had a chance, but I just, you know, I predicted they would lose, as did many, but
except me,
I just didn't expect that defense, except for JP, but the defense just came out and
dominant
against a good offensive team. I mean, I've been pulling up stats, and I haven't really had a chance to closely look at it. It held the Raiders to 128 total yards. The last time
128?
128. They had 95 until that last garbage drive.
Wow. Under 100 till late in the fourth quarter.
And they had not, I looked it up, the last time they held an opponent to less than that was 1991 against the Eagles. Now,
that 91 team was pretty good.
The Redskins were, the Eagles, however, were not.
Right.
You know,
that was the late in the year,
right.
The second
so,
loss.
So, you know, I'll have to look at the other teams to see when they're against an offense this good, performance this dominant.
It's
been a long time.
Let's say something real quick. We're not comparing this team to 91.
No.
Just to be clear.
No.
Real quick, we have a celebrity spotting, Rich.
Locally.
Local celebrity Mitch Tischler's here. Mitch has seen probably 98% of Redskins games over the last decade, something like roughly somewhere in there.
100%.
I mean, you missed L.A. because you had a wedding.
Doesn't mean I didn't see it.
All right. I bet you didn't. Whatever, dude.
I did.
Just shut up. Give us your reaction to that game.
I'm shocked. I've seen enough bad football on primetime and bad defense on primetime that this showing was pretty spectacular.
I think spectacular tends to be hyperbolic, but in this case, it's not. They were
no
great.
Hyperbole here.
I wish I could curse like a lot because their effort deserves a lot of curse words.
It was effing good.
It was MFing good.
It was MFing good.
So I talked to I'm gonna unname him just because I'm gonna say how many curse words he said. But I talked to one Redskins player in the locker room who didn't play tonight, so you guys can guess. And I was like, "What did you think of that defense tonight?" And the reaction was just, holy S, they were MFing incredible. And they were right. Taylor, let's talk early in that game. I mean, they had a pick on the second play from scrimmage.
Right.
The next two drives, they got a sack on each drive.
Right.
What? I mean, Preston Smith
three and is 0 for 11 on third downs.
Yo, and this and all we worry about with the Redskins is how they struggle on third down defense.
Yes, 0 for 11.
I mean, shit, man. There's one curse word. Like, I thought they'd win. I really did. I picked them.
You
in,
did.
I picked them in a pick 'em pool I'm in, but I did not see it going down like this.
I picked them in that same pool. Did you, Tandler?
I did not. I did not pick against them.
Dude, so it's one of those that you're kind of at a loss. Do you have the stat information? So
what do you want exactly? I want sacks. A lot of stats here. They had
Preston had at least one. Okay. Kerrigan had one.
Ioannidis had a half.
Ioannidis had a half.
John Allen had one.
John Allen played well. Dude, all right, let's from back to front, let's talk about the difference makers from last season. Swearinger, certainly. How about Monte Nicholson, man? A rookie.
Hold on, you went by Swearinger pretty quick. How about that hit on Marshawn Lynch?
Dude.
In Marshawn's entire career, do you ever see him go backwards? Never. That was incredible.
I tell you what, though. Preston Smith also on an earlier tackle.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't a huge hit.
Lynch thought he was going to stiff arm him, and Smith was having none of that.
And that was huge. That was early in the game.
Yeah.
That was Preston Smith on an island against Beast Mode, turning the corner, and it was a third and two or something.
Yep,
I mean, that looks like he was picking that up, no problem.
Yep.
That was a huge play when this game was still tight.
Yeah.
And that was – I mean, Smith, I think, had already registered a sack at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? I mean
– he'd already had a sack. But you have you got Swearinger. Okay, did we give Swearinger enough love there? We didn't.
Well, let's give a little more love for the outfit he put on in the locker room after the game. I tweeted out a picture. He put on a Sean Taylor jersey, which is cool. But then he had this giant Redskins sombrero that he was wearing, which was way cooler. They were both cool, but I would love to see Rich Tandler wearing that sombrero.
That would be pretty spectacular.
It really
one last Swearinger thing. It was a belabored point in training camp about the attitude that he brought to the defense and what he did. Tonight is the night that you can point at it and say, this is what we were talking about. The way that those guys were flying around was unlike, what, any defense we've seen in D.C. in a long time.
It's a great point.
A long time.
I don't know if it's 1991, but it's a long time.
It's a great point. And you can see what he means to some of these young guys. So let's go to Monte Nicholson, who had a great game. Interception on the second play from scrimmage, I think.
His very first athletic play, smart play.
He knocked Crabtree out of the game,
yep.
Right? Totally clean, big hit. I had him on post game. He said, I like to hit people. I mean, I guess you do, Monte. And fast to the ball. He had a big pressure on Carr late. All right, let's – Norman.
Zach Brown.
Difference maker, man.
Yes. He got a couple of – similar hits to what – not on Lynch, but on a couple of hits similar to what Swearinger got, where the guy, he's vertical 1 second, and a millisecond later, he's on the ground.
And he was getting them by the legs, bringing them down. I mean, form tackles out there.
And we talk about it all the time again, but the speed. The sideline-to-sideline speed on those swing passes and the quick screens to the wide receivers, he's out there, man, every time.
So Redskins fans are – tweeting me constantly, hey, they need to sign Zach Brown to an extension. They need to sign Zach Brown to an extension. I texted his agent tonight and I said, hey, Redskins fans want an extension. I haven't heard a reply yet, but the word is going out there.
Well, you know who probably doesn't want an extension is Zach Brown. Right. His value is going up every single week. I'm sure the Redskins would like to get him locked up at week three value.
Right. There's a reason he signed a one-year deal.
Yes,
to get paid, son. And right now he's showing
– he's earning it.
He's playing an all-pro level. Not Pro Bowl nonsense, all-pro. Yep. I mean, arguably the best at his position in the NFL. No Mason Foster tonight. I thought that would impact him. Martrell Spate's not as good of a tackler as Mason, but he played fine. The corners – think about this. We're not even talking about Norman or Breland, who shut down Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree.
Yeah. They didn't hear much from him because they just put the clamps on those guys. So, Kendall Fuller got a pick.
And on a great play.
And forced a fumble
at the
end of the game.
Fuller, that was his first career at INT. And I tell you what, I don't know if you guys had the same reaction watching it. When that ball was in the air, I thought he might get a penalty for face guard. And he turned to the ball at the last possible second, which is exactly what the coaches want you to do. And he turned around, the ball was there. Perfect
and
position.
He reacted and made the catch instead of just knocking it down.
We had him in postgame, and we're going to play both those interviews. We're going to play the Fuller and the Monte at the end of this. Fuller, you could tell how smart he is and what a football guy he is. I asked him, I was like, how'd you know you didn't have to turn your head? He's like, film study, man. I watch all this stuff all the time. I asked him about how good he's been on screens. All year he's been great on screens. He said it's just film study. All right, let's get up front. Preston, Kerrigan, Gallette had a half, you said, Tandler?
Yes.
Matt Ioannidis is a different dude than last year.
Yeah. Are we sure he's the same guy? because that guy couldn't get on the field. When he did, he couldn't do anything. This guy is like a real defensive lineman.
He's not just a contributor. He's good.
Yeah, he's actually good. At least preseason, I thought that he was going to be a body that was going to rotate, and he's been pretty good.
He started to show in camp. I mean, camp's kind of when we were starting to change our opinion on it. John Allen, I feel like we're just giving out – like the game ball segment's just going to be us repeating all of this. Yeah. Although we haven't even talked about the damn offense yet in a dominant
effort.
How good
Kirk was. But hold on. I'm assuming the half sack was the play that everyone met at Derek Carr.
Right, coming from the front, yeah, too, like, right.
That went to Gillette.
Yeah, it went to Gillette and Ioannidis, but, I mean, that could have gone to – they could have given a quarter to that to Preston, a quarter to John Allen, a quarter to Gillette. They could. I mean, that was what every defensive line coach wants their guys to do.
Yeah, meet
at the quarterback, and that's what they did.
Meet at the quarterback.
I mean, just a dominant effort against the number one scoring offense coming into tonight.
Of course, on a sample size of two games.
Right, but hell. I mean,
Jets, but still.
I mean, they beat the Titans, who had a good
By the end of the year, they'll be a top 10 offense.
Right. All right, so let's go to the offense. Kirk Cousins played a tremendous game, but the story on offense continues to be Chris Thompson. Dude is just lights out.
Tischler, fantasy starter since week one.
Wow, good for you, dude. You cashing in.
I had a lot of faith in the man. I thought he was going to be the most productive running back and looking to be pretty, pretty smart.
I mean, he's been great, I think. So he finished with 150 passing, 35 rushing, I think, or was
38
it
more? Rushing.
38 rushing. Did you see he got the Sunday Night Football game ball? I got a picture of him with that. That's pretty cool, man. I mean, it's a national game.
He enjoyed it. They handed him the ball after the post-game interview, and he signed it, and he was kind of marveling at it.
Yeah.
He had it tucked up under his arm as he was walking off the field. He was pretty pleased with it, but
his impact is really – and he could have scored another one. I mean, I tell you what, the game was a little tight at that point. It was 3rd and 17 or something. Taylor probably knows the down and distance specifically. It was late in the game.
Yeah.
That was the play after Laval's face mask went off.
Right.
And they had Trent playing guard and Seki.
No, he didn't hold. But it was 3rd and more than 10.
Yeah, it was 3rd and more than 10. They had Seki out at tackle, and they threw that little bubble pass, flare, yeah, whatever you want to call it. And he was just gone.
Kind of like, yeah, let's try to gain 10 yards so we're in better position for a punt. Right.
And like Trent doing what Trent does best is he was out front of that play.
Yeah.
And I was in the back corner of the end zone, so Chris was running away from me. And Trent was blocking whoever he was blocking. And he did like on the field, you saw him go like look side to side and be like, okay, Chris is gone. And like, he was just by him. It was like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
He was gone, man. And his speed and playmaking ability has just been remarkable all year.
Well, and you know, his patience running.
Yep.
I think he's kind of developed this. You've seen him getting better and better. But I was real impressed at the end of the half. He, I believe, made a run and caught a pass, but he just picked his way through and then found his way to the sidelines to stop the clock on a couple plays in a row, got him to near midfield. They didn't end up scoring, but those were a couple of just very smart Thompson runs.
Should we hash this out real quick? The clock management decisions at the end of the half. I'll start. I was fine with how they handled the end of the half. You're up 14-0. You don't need to push it on fourth down to go for it. I think how they handled going into halftime, 14-0 lead, and then you're getting the ball to start the third quarter, I was totally fine with it.
I disagree. I wanted them to go for it. I thought they should have. There was, I think, 38 seconds left or so
I think the Raiders had all their timeouts.
When they pumped the clock, yes, but you run that play clock all the way down. The clock was running. You run the play clock all the way down and run that play. And if they don't get it, the Raiders get the ball back with 25 seconds left or so. 35 seconds? Was it longer than that?
I thought it was
under
like
a minute.
It was under a minute. I thought it was in the 40s. But I mean,
either way,
now we're picking hairs.
Yeah, now we're picking hairs. But
is picking hairs a thing? Splitting hairs.
Splitting hairs. That's
one. Picking hairs sounds kind of gross.
It's still late. Offense was kind of rolling. It is late.
We haven't said it. All right, folks, we're on the field. I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but it's so late we're saying it. It's, I don't know, 1:30. It's late.
The lights are still on.
We're all yawning. But this game has me kind of wired. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Usually by this time of the night after a night game, I'm dragging. I'm pretty wired from this one.
Thought the offense was rolling. I thought that was a good opportunity to do the score at the end of the half and then get the ball back and score at the start of the second half and really put this game away.
With a big lead at home, I'm cool with the decision.
Is now, 14 points a big lead?
I mean, you're up 14, about to get the ball, and your defense has been dominant.
109 at the time of the play, just to close the loop.
Ooh, okay. Tandler.
109 at the time of the...
At the time that...
109 and then 40 seconds runs off?
Right.
Right, so they run. So they let 40 seconds run down.
All right, we're good. We're good on the play.
It would have been 30 seconds left for the Raiders to do something. Either way, thank God it didn't matter.
You don't have time to do anything.
You do. You have 30 seconds in the balls at the 40-yard line.
All right, we're moving on. I'm calling it. We're moving on.
Taylor's wrong.
We're moving on.
So
Tandler, give Tandler the mic.
You're both wrong.
Give me the mic.
Mitch is out. Mitch is on 2-minute power play. Mitch is in the box. 2-minute penalty. Taylor and I are on a power play. Mitch is in the box. We're going game balls. There's going to be a lot of them, so we might go sort of speedish. No doubling up. I go, you go. We go till we drop.
Okay.
Ready? Start. Chris Thompson. Dude was incredible.
I'll stay on offense with Kirk Cousins. He was sharp all day, didn't even come close to making a mistake.
I mean, so precise. I thought Kirk played a great game. I thought this was the game Kirk would play a great game. He delivered. They needed it. Back to me, staying on offense, Josh Doctson. It was only one catch, but that was a hell of a catch. He went up over Amerson, made a hell of a play. It was I don't know if he thought he was in the end zone or there wasn't anybody. He kind of took a shot there that he didn't probably have to take. But big play for Josh, just what he needed, just what fans needed to see. Josh gets the game ball.
Zach Brown, we've already talked about it.
Sure, but you can say more than that.
Okay, well, he just, to me, and I know Swearinger, who could also probably get one, it just seemed like Brown, because he's closer to the line of scrimmage, really energized that defense. A couple of hits. It's like I said, the guys went from vertical to horizontal in a fraction of a second.
I will go with Preston Smith game ball. I mean, 3 games, 3 sacks, maybe 3.5. Preston could be getting credited for sacks that he's not getting right now.
Right.
You're up.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Yep.
Got a sack, got a 7-yard tackle for loss on a run. Good game.
Monte Nicholson, game ball. Easy. Yeah. I mean, that's an easy call for a rookie.
Yeah. Let's let Norman and Breland share one. They shut down.
I think Fuller gets one, too.
A pair of good receivers. Fuller.
I've lost count of how many we've given out.
Okay.
We got to be 8-9 deep.
We've
They all deserve them, though. I mean, none of these are not. All right. Mitch is claiming he's out of the penalty box. You're up, big man.
How are you guys forgetting the offensive line? They kept Kirk almost completely clean. There were open holes to run through. They had a sack. They kept Kirk clean.
All right, you're going back in the penalty box. The offensive line played better. LaValle did not have a good game. You can't give the whole O-line. They played better. The O-line played well. But on a night where everybody's getting a game ball, I don't know that they get a game ball. They played well.
I disagree.
You're an O-lineman, though. Like, that impacts how you think.
I'm not a homer, though. When they don't play well, I'm more than happy to say so.
All right. I mean, not to pick more hairs, not to split more hairs, but part of the gig is giving out goats, too. There's not many. You got one?
Jameson Crowder.
Yeah.
I mean, he made some good plays.
He had a good game. But, he had a big catch on a third down, but two muff punts in 3 weeks, man.
Yep.
I don't think it's cause for concern. The sample size is much larger. He's been doing this for 3 years now. But two and three weeks.
The first one against the Eagles, I thought he lost it in the sun. This one, there was really no reason.
So I only got to hear a bit of it, and I'll ask him about it tomorrow on Redskins 100. But B. Mitch was saying whenever he's trying to play the ball as he's jumping, it tends – that's what happened week one. I know he was jumping into the ball to try to catch it, and I believe that's what happened tonight as well. Like the coaches say, we got to watch the tape.
Don't do that.
Good analysis, Taylor. Just going back to the O-line, the GOAT, I would say, is Pirine. There were a lot of open holes to run through, and for a guy who has made a mark for being one of the strongest guys that came through the draft and whatnot, he kind of seems to go down a little bit easy from time to time, and that's part of why I gave the O-line a game ball, because I thought they opened up some holes. Pirine just wasn't able to hit him.
I think that's fair. Taylor, you agree?
Sure, yeah.
Let's look at this stat line. 19 for 49, 2.6 YPC. That's not getting it done. I tell you what, I'm going to give a retroactive game ball to Jay Gruden for sticking with the damn run, especially early. I think they did a good job.
You know, one thing that Kirk pointed out is when the defense is playing that well, it makes it easy to stick with a run.
Sure.
If you got a punt, oh well, you'll get it back three plays later.
I think I said this after game one, maybe, but the Rob Raiders, Kelly.
Okay, wait. Let me throw the stat out. Sure. Sorry. The Raiders, without benefit of turnover, did not get inside the Redskins' 48-yard line. This would have been a shutout.
Yeah.
Without the turnovers.
I mean, just such an impressive effort. How about let's just give the whole defense a game ball.
Okay.
So there's 11. I mean, 11. Kirk gets one. Thompson gets one. Doxson gets one.
O-line does not get one.
O-line does not get one. They played well, but no participation trophies, you snowflake.
What does JP say when you do an over-under?
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
So we're about to go to over-unders. Good job, Mitch. So what are we at? We're all 11 on defense get one.
14.
Kirk, Thompson, Doxson. That's 14. That's a new record.
That's a new record.
All right.
It's
a well-earned fitting. Record. Yeah,
very fitting.
They kicked ass, and you get 14 game balls.
Yep.
All right, let's settle some business here. Over-unders for the week. We're set. Taylor and I really only disagreed on one. All right, what everybody, it seemed, on Twitter was enjoying pointing out to both of us is we set the over-under for turnovers at 2. We both took the under.
Yeah.
We were both wrong.
They got 3. They had over 3, right?
2 picks and a fumble.
And that guard, Spate got the fumble. That fourth down.
So the over hit.
Yeah.
I mean, good for the defense.
Yep.
That was something.
So this is a Raiders ball.
This defense
Raiders
has
team
now
that
the Raiders hadn't turned the ball over yet.
Carr had not. I think they might have lost a fumble, but I'm not sure.
But Skins have now produced 7 turnovers in 3 games.
Yep.
2, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, I tell you what, man. Here's the thing. Everything that's happening with the defense, I think, is sustainable. I don't think there's fluky stuff.
Yeah.
Do you disagree?
No. I don't.
Which is pretty remarkable.
Smacking people around. I mean, that's great.
Okay. So, Taylor and I both got that wrong. Chris Thompson, 75 total yards we set. We both said over. I mean, he doubled that on pass yards alone. Thompson's a maniac. Thompson is truly just dominating football. He's through 3 games, and this is incredibly premature. Through 3 games, I wouldn't say that Chris Thompson is just the Redskins MVP. He's in the conversation for the MVP of the league right now.
Whoa.
Through 3 games, dude. Through 3 games. I mean, tell me who's 3-0 that is clearly.
Oh, I don't know. Like maybe Tom Brady.
I mean, they're 2-1. Like they lost the game.
Okay.
He didn't look good that first game. It's a silly. I'm just saying he'd be in the conversation.
It's
he's been
silly,
that good.
That's my point. Okay.
God, Taylor.
Anyway,
2 a.m. You got to be a ball buster.
188 total yards.
I mean, that's all right. So clearly Thompson went over. And let's get to
Offensive player of the week.
Did he get named already?
No.
But he will be.
That's what I would.
Oh, but it's silly to consider him in the MVP conversation.
No, offensive player of the week and MVP are 2 totally different things.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. Anyway, it's too late for this. So our last
over. Never too late to correct a wrong.
You guys are so annoying. Our last over-under is Kirk Cousins' pass yards. Speaking of somebody being right and somebody being wrong, the total was set at 265 pass yards for Kirk. My phone tells me that Kirk Cousins passed for 365 pass yards.
Yeah.
So, Tandler, what side did you take on 265 over-under for Kirk Cousins?
I took the under.
As we like to say, eh! So, Tandler was wrong. JP, what side did you take on Kirk Cousins' 265 over-under? I took the over. That is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Mitch, what's the right sound?
Ding, 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 ding.
Bang! That gives me the week. I win 2-1. I now have a 2-1 lead on Tandler, and he owes me a cheer wine when we get to the Redskins Media Annex.
Where's my
That was terms of the bet. You have to win two because the drinks you like are three times the cost of cheer wine. You like $2 coffees. I like 50 cent cheer wine.
The question is, last week JP was changing answers after you changing over unders after
I
you
didn't
gave
change
your
the totals.
You changed one.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did a little flippy floppy.
I changed my answer.
Yeah, your
answer. I didn't change the number.
I know, but you changed
That's
your
That's the
answer.
Allegation. The allegation's incorrect.
So I'm sorry. You changed your answer to match Tandler's so that he couldn't catch up.
Incorrect. He won last week.
I know.
He caught up.
And he would have won by more had you not been changing your answer.
But we're not counting totals because I'd be way ahead.
Oh, we're just going week by week.
Yeah, we're just going week by week.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I win again. I will tweet out a picture of the cheer wine Tandler's going to buy me. I'm legitimately excited about that.
Pour it on your damn head.
All right, man. I think we've covered this thing. The one thing we haven't addressed, and honestly, I think it kind of becomes a secondary story because of the nature of this game. We didn't really talk about the protests. Dan Snyder came out and linked arms with a number of the players. A number of the Redskins took a knee.
It was
five
eight.
Or six guys. Okay, eight guys.
Eight, it was I heard. I did not personally count that. But
it was so hectic in that moment.
Right.
I know a lot of the Raiders players took part in
Sat
the protests.
Down on the bench.
Josh Norman was really emotional talking about President Trump and everything after the game. And
as was Vernon Davis.
And you know what, man? Tandler, certainly the platform is here if you want to get into this. I am not an overly political person. I wanted to cover whatever the players did and whatever the players said. I think that's absolutely relevant. I think folks can draw their own conclusions and are entitled to their own opinions, really.
Yeah, this isn't really – I don't think this is the forum to really go into that in any depth.
Agreed.
I mean, it's available out there. We'll have what Josh Norman said on the air and online.
Yeah.
Probably what
I tweeted
Davis
it out. It's
on
impressive.
On the air online, so –
Chris Thompson and Zach Brown were both very eloquent, even-keeled, intelligent in their responses. It was kind of cool to see these guys all, you know, take such a cerebral approach to it.
That's a good word. They were cerebral. I really think that's a good word. We also didn't get to touch on the Sue Cravens thing.
It doesn't really belong in this podcast.
Yeah, if anything, we ain't cerebral. I went and saw Sue Cravens yesterday. Who seemed to be in a decent place. I think he's healing from a lot of stuff going on for him. There were a lot of fans there. I thought it was a cool, genuine moment between fans and Sua. If you were out there and I got to speak to you, I enjoyed those moments. But really, I mean, those things, after this win, this magnitude of a win, the focus is on the football field, man. And you got to wonder, hey, Kansas City looks good as hell, but these Skins, man. They look pretty good, too.
Yeah. You know, let's go see what happens week from tomorrow. Or, well, probably about a week from today, actually. It's now coming up in 2 o'clock.
For the first time in a long time, it's really good to have the focus on the football field.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of shenanigans over the years. And even this week, we were worried. We were talking about what may or may not be storylines or whatever. Coming into Monday Night Football in Arrowhead, there is only one thing to talk about, and that is football,
yeah.
And that's a good thing.
What kind of chance they might have to pull off an upset?
Here's to football,
another upset,
gentlemen.
There will be an underdog for the fourth time this year.
Wow! Yeah, you're right.
They're now,
and
2-1.
I mean, that'll be an interesting spread to look for.
They're going to be an underdog a lot the rest of the season. If you take a gander at the rest of the season, there's really only one game that
Mitch
you can,
is out here taking ganders.
There's really only one game that you can point at that they're definitely going to be a favorite in, and that's after the bye week going playing the 49ers.
I don't know. You think the way the Giants look right now, the Giants here on Thanksgiving,
Giants, Saints, Vikings.
Saints. No, at the Saints be tough. Vikings are here.
I'm just saying, there's some games where they might be favored.
Yeah, the Saints are 1-2 now.
There's some games where they might be favored. The only one that you can point to that they are guaranteed to be favored. And, you know, it may be at this
I'll
point.
I'll point to the Giants right now.
At this point, talking about the Giants, I'll concede that one.
All right. Let's we Chandler, scale of 1 to 10. Hell, last 20 years, how good was this win?
Oh, 20 years?
Yeah.
10.
Mitch, same question.
You know, give it four regular season game. I mean, well, hell, they won one playoff game.
I'm saying 20
game,
years.
So,
we're not going back to the Super Bowl era. The last 20 years.
They've only won one playoff game. So,
pretty great win, but there were a couple real big wins in the past couple of playoff seasons to get there.
Right.
So I give it more of like an 8.4. But okay. That's okay.
But we'll see. Maybe, you know, when you look at the rearview mirror at the end of the season, if they do go on to do something, maybe it could be this, you know, this could be their takeoff point.
Right. I think the perception has changed. Now, who knows what happens next week in KC? NFL's a week-to-week league, man. We all know that. But this is a 9. Because a 10 is probably the Eagles win in 2015 when they won at Philly to clinch the division. You know, so this is this is as big a win as any organization could have in week 3 of the regular season. I'll say that.
And by the way, how much are the Redskins or Redskins fans going to be thinking about the last time they played the Chiefs here? Snowy game, lost 45.
Dude, they had
nothing,
a punt return TD and a kick return TD.
It was miserable.
And the report came out that morning that Shanny had quit and cleaned out his office.
So how great would it be to return the favor in Kansas City and lay a whooping?
We gotta close here so we can get this podcast posted for morning rush hour, folks.
so we can get home before morning.
Right,
rush
we might be in morning rush hour at this point. Folks, I hope you enjoyed that game as much as we did watching it. That was something. Tell us what you think. We will be back Wednesday with over-unders. We're going to set them. And we got some cool stuff lined up for you. We're going to throw to the Monte Nicholson interview and the Kendall Fuller interview. And that will be a wrap for Redskins Talk after the dominant Redskins 27, Raiders 10 win. Tanner, you take us out, dude.
If you made it this far, JP owes you a beer.
Bang.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.